FM with Lisa and Lou in good company, and in the studio we've got lawyer Michael Patterson, who's going to be chatting with us all about wills and the importance of having one. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, great. So, good topic. I've been asking my friends recently, have you got a will? And I'm horrified how many haven't. So, Mike, what can go wrong if people haven't set up a will? What are the dangers?
The main problem is that your estate can be distributed in a way that you don't really want it to be distributed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's covered by the Administration Act, which was enacted in 1903. It's a little bit out of date. They have updated it a little bit recently with some of the figures. But the estate can go to different people. But it's, on the whole, it's pretty good. But it does leave your estate untended until someone gets a grant of letters of administration. So to give you an example, a friend of mine passed away. He was a lawyer, didn't have a will. Left behind a law firm which was sitting in a company. He was the sole director. No one could run his practice. The legal practice board had to put in a manager. We couldn't get letters of administration quickly because there was a problem at the Supreme Court. It was near the end of the financial year. We had to do a whole lot of documentation for his de facto on the basis that she would get letters of administration eventually. It wasn't quite above board, but no one complained in the end.
So often by not putting a will in place, you're actually making it really difficult for the people that you're leaving behind.
Yes, it basically makes it a lot harder for the people you leave behind.
What kind of time frame could be caught up with that, waiting for administration and stuff like that, if there isn't a will in place? What kind of time?
Well, in that case, it was about 3 months. That's a long time. In that time, the practice disappeared. At the moment, the Supreme Court's pretty good, so we're getting letters of administration through within about 3 weeks. But you usually have to wait a couple of weeks until after the person has passed away.
So why is it, Mike, for something that is a relatively a simple and straightforward and cost-effective process, why don't people bother?
People don't like to think about their own mortality. They don't think it's going to happen to them anytime soon. I think they're the main reasons. A lot of people put it off. I've had people crying in my office because they're thinking about their own demise. I get pretty blasé about it and crack silly dad jokes.
Well, it's part of life. It's one of those
But it's one of those things that you need to do.
And having things organised. And also at those transition points. So if perhaps somebody who's buying a house and they've got a mortgage for the first time, or they're having a baby or entering a relationship. So you've also got to think about these different phases of life.
Yeah, that's right. When you get married. When you get divorced.
When you get divorced.
When you get separated. So marriage and divorce revoke a will. But if you separate, it doesn't revoke the will.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you need to think about that.
Is that because an ex could end up getting your estate,
that's
even
right,
though you've split because you haven't redone
you
a
haven't
will?
You haven't redone your will.
Wow, a few of my friends are in that category. Gosh. Wow. Okay, so the other thing is you were saying about if you haven't got a will, how long it can take to sort things out. This is at a time when people are in distress, they're grieving, they're in trauma, and they also have some big bills with funeral expenses that need paying for. That would be very tricky if things are caught up for a few months.
Yeah, that's right. Bank accounts get frozen. I mean, they get frozen anyway, and they can't usually get operated until you get probate on the will. But the banks will release money for funeral expenses to an executor. Sometimes they'll also do it for a person who's likely to be the administrator of the estate. But it can be tricky or trickier if you haven't appointed an executor to look after your affairs. Once you've got that document, then it opens up a few extra doors.
Okay, so talking of executors, is it a good idea to choose a family member, or is it a better idea to choose somebody neutral?
I usually recommend family members because they've got a stake in the estate usually. It can be an onerous job. We have got a bit of a checklist that we send out to people about what needs to be done so that they don't have to think about it too much. But your family members are best. I'm very reluctant to be an executor of my client's estates, but I'm a last resort on a couple of wills.
And could that be a shared responsibility if you've, say, got three children, you would make them all, you would appoint them all as executor?
That's pretty common. So if the children are adults, then they may as well all be executors. It depends where they are. So if someone's interstate, it's a real hassle to get documents signed and that sort of thing. So the people who are in the location are the best.
Yeah. So imagine if you've got, say you've got two children and you appoint both of those. If one agrees and one doesn't agree, then what happens
then? You can renounce.
Okay.
So anyone who's been appointed as an executor can renounce that position. Mm. So my mother-in-law appointed me as her executor without telling me.
Oh.
Got a bit of a surprise when she'd done a homemade will.
Right.
I could have renounced.
Yeah.
That would have, but she didn't have an alternate executor nominated.
Mm.
But the kids would have picked it up.
Yeah.
But yes.
Mike, what's the difference between a simple will and something more complicated or even a trust? I don't understand.
Right. So you can get a will kit from the newsagents.
What are they? Are they any good?
They work, and they're better. It's better to have something like that than nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Simple wills, some would say there's no such thing, but there are certainly very complicated wills. So it is possible to set up what's known as discretionary testamentary trusts in a will. And what happens with those is that the trust fund gets left on the terms of a discretionary trust. And the discretionary trust means that you can have multiple beneficiaries. So you might have the primary beneficiary as your son or daughter, but the general beneficiaries will be their spouse and children. And so what you can do is you can invest that trust fund, it can earn income, and you can distribute that income tax effectively among family members. So in particular, a spouse who's not working, or children who are under the age of 18, or even if they're over the age of 18, you can distribute income from that trust fund and to the people who are paying the least amount of tax, in particular the children.
Mm.
So children who are beneficiaries of a testamentary trust get taxed as if they were adults. So they can earn up to, I think it's $19,200 tax-free.
Oh, I see.
Whereas children who are beneficiaries of a trust, which is not a testamentary trust, can only earn $416 tax-free, and then they pay tax at the top marginal rate.
Wow, that's a big saving,
which
isn't
is a big saving. So if you've got a trust fund of, say, $500,000, even if it's earning 5%, that's $25,000 a year in income. You split that between two children and they pay no tax, and you can use that money to pay school fees, living expenses and that sort of thing. Whereas if it went to the parent who might be earning income and paying tax at 20 cents in the dollar, 30 cents in the dollar at the top marginal rate, you'd lose all that income in tax.
Yeah. Mike, can you explain why children should pay for their parents' wills?
Right. Well, it's that the person who dies, all their worries are gone. It's the people they leave behind that can have the problems. And it is possible to have tax-effective wills, such as the ones I've just spoken about there.
Yeah.
And you can also, there's indirect inheritance taxes, which a lot of people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So for superannuation, your superannuation, if it goes to people who are not financial dependents, or death benefit dependents is the correct term, they can be taxed at 15% on the concessional contributions that went into that super.
Mm.
Whereas if you give it to a death benefit dependent, such as a spouse or children who are under the age of 18 or still at home and studying, gets a bit blurry after 18, That no tax gets taken out. So you can have provisions such that your dependent children benefit mainly from the super, so there's no tax, and the non-dependent children take from the balance of the estate in an equalising fashion, so that you maximise the benefit you get from giving your super proceeds to your dependents. But you do need to make sure that your super goes into the estate. And we had an example where we had a fellow passed away. He left a $400,000 house to his two daughters. He had $200,000 in super. He'd drawn up his own will. He said, look, I give my house to the daughters. I give the next $200,000 to my son. And then the balance of my estate is to be split equally between the three kids.
Mm.
Unfortunately, his super didn't go into the estate. And the super fund manager wanted to split the super 35% to each of the daughters and 30% to the son, who we were acting for, which would mean the daughters got a disproportionate amount of the estate and he got next to nothing, because the balance of the estate to be split between them was only $12,000. So he got he was going to get $12,000 and about $60,000 from the super.
Gosh, all these things you don't think about.
And we managed to get it so that it was as if the money had come into the estate, but it cost him $2,000 or $3,000 for us to sort that out for him. But at least he got his fair share of the estate at the end of the day.
Mike, what you've shared has been a real eye-opener about the things that you can do to reduce costs. And I'm going to ask you one golden tip, piece of advice you could give people listening.
The best time to do a will is before you die.
Whoa.
Today.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. And how can people get in touch with you? Have you got a website?
Yes, we've got a website. It's Michael Patterson and Associates. We're in Osborne Park, easy to get to, with parking and so on as well.
And that's Patterson with one T.
Patterson with one T.
Yep.
Banjo Patterson.
Thank you so much for being our guest today, Michael Patterson, talking all about wills and the importance of. We are going to leave you listening to 89.7 FM.